Okay, so there's somebody who came back from Eretz Yisrael this morning, got me right after Shacharis, and he asked me the following question. He said he was in Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov, and he kept 2 days of Yom Tov as he was supposed to. And he wanted to know, was he allowed on the second day of Yom Tov to request of somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael to do malacha for him? This is a very famous question, and it's something I promised him I would discuss today, even though he is not here. So he'll listen to the recording. So the question, really, you can back up, because it comes up in other areas as well. Take, for example, a more common example, and that is the fact that you have somebody who is Mekabel Shabbos early in the summer months. And I'm Mekabel Shabbos at 5 o'clock, and regular Shabbos doesn't come in until 7:30. So my neighbor is still considering it to be Friday, and I consider it to be Shabbos right now. I realize I left the lights off. Do I have a right to knock on my neighbor's door and ask him to turn our lights on that we had left off? Am I allowed to do that? And from there, we get into a discussion about all different scenarios of how it plays out. So the beginning of that discussion is a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Kufnun Aleph Hamad Aleph, a very famous story. I have a field out somewhere, and it's outside of my Tchum Shabbos. But I'm afraid that if I don't have somebody watching it over Shabbos, people are going to come and steal all the produce. So the Gemara says, Mutar la'adam lomar la'chaveiro, I'm allowed to go to my friend who's within the proximity of Tchum Shabbos of my field. Each one of us has a separate Tchum Shabbos depending on where we live. So I'm allowed to go to my friend and say to him, please walk to my field and watch over it on Shabbos, and I will watch over your field over here. Even though for me it would be not permissible to go to my field because it's outside of my Tchum Shabbos, I'm allowed to ask him. And the halacha is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like this Gemara, that you're allowed to ask somebody else to go to your field and to watch over it, even though for you yourself you wouldn't be allowed to walk there because it's outside of your Tchum Shabbos. And the question is, why is that permissible? There's a major machlokas harishonim, why that would be permissible, and that has major halachic consequences, what the reason for that halacha is. So the Ran writes there on the Gemara, that the reason why it would be permissible to ask somebody to go and watch your fruits for you in your field, even though it's outside of your Tchum Shabbos, is because, had you only planned a little bit in advance, had you only made sure to set up huts along the way before Shabbos and extended your Tchum Shabbos, again, Tchum Shabbos only ends where there are no more houses. If you would have built a little hut along the way, you would have been to walk there by yourself. So since there was a way of making this permissible on Shabbos, therefore, just because you forgot to do that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to ask someone else to do it. That's the way the Ran explains that Gemara. Since there was a way for you to make it permissible, therefore, even though you forgot to do that, we would assume that you're allowed to ask someone else to do it. And the Rashba disagrees with the Ran. The Rashba says in the name of the Balei Atosis that the reason why that's permissible is because, since for my friend it's mutter to do, there's nothing wrong with him walking there, therefore I'm allowed to request of him to do such a thing. Even though for me it's Azar, but since for him it's permissible, I'm allowed to ask him. And from here, the Rashba extends it a little bit further. From here the Rashba says, therefore, if I am Mekabel Shabbos early, and somebody else was not yet Mekabel Shabbos, I'm allowed to ask that person to go ahead and do the malacha for me because for him there's nothing wrong with doing this act. For him it's not Shabbos, for me it is Shabbos. And you see from this Gemara that the guiding principle is as long as it's not usher for that person to do this activity, I'm allowed to go ahead and ask him to do so. The only time it's a problem is where both of us are not allowed to do it. That's where that would pose an issue. That's the understanding of the Rashba. And again, the Ran rejects that assumption. The Ran says, no, that's not the understanding of the Gemara. The reason why the Gemara assumes you were allowed to go and ask somebody to go and watch your field out in the sticks somewhere is because you could have figured out how to do it yourself had you only planned ahead before Shabbos, but you forgot to do that, and therefore you're allowed to ask somebody else to do it because it's not really usher. Don't really consider that to be usher. That's the disagreement between the Rashba and the Ran in explaining this Gemara, and based on that, we have the major consequence, lahalacha, about somebody who's Mekabel Shabbos early. Can we extend this case to that one? The Shulchan Aruch quotes this din, and the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Samach Gimel Hilchos Shabbos writes as follows: Yesh Omrim. There are some who say Shamisha Kibel Alav Shabbos Kodem Shechashecha. Someone who's Mekabel Shabbos early, Mutar Lamar LeYisrael Chaveru Lasos LaMalacha. You're allowed to go and ask somebody else to do the malacha for you. Again, that person was not yet Mekabel Shabbos, and therefore you are allowed to do that. And similarly, in the other direction, let's say I decide after Shabbos I want to keep Shabbos an extra hour, an extra 72 minutes. I'm allowed to ask somebody else during that extended period of time to do malacha for me, even though I'm not allowed to do malacha myself because I have not yet davened Ma'ariv, I have not yet said Hamavdu Ben Kodesh L'chol, but I would be allowed to ask somebody to do the malacha for me. Now that would seem to indicate that the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rashba, that the Rashba's understanding of this Gemara is Why am I allowed to ask somebody to go and watch my field, even though it's outside of my own personal Tchum Shabbos? The Rashba says the reason why it's permissible is because for him it's mutter, and since for him it's permissible, I'm allowed to ask him to do something even though it's not permissible for me. From here, the Rashba extrapolates that if somebody is Mekabel Shabbos early, you're allowed to go ahead and ask them to do something for you, even though for you it's aser, but since it's mutter, it's okay. So it seemed that the Shulchan Aruch is assuming that the Rashba is correct. And that's the understanding of the Mishnah Berurah, that's the understanding of the Taz. It gets a little complicated because the Magen Avraham says somehow you can fit in the opinion of the Ran into this Psak of the Shulchan Aruch as well. So that's a very complicated issue. How do you fit the Ran into this Psak when in fact the Ran would seem to disagree on face value? But either way, the Mishnah Berurah's assumption is clearly that we are assuming like the Rashba's opinion. Now, that's with regard to Tosefes Shabbos. Or, in the other direction, when Shabbos goes out. The problem is as follows. The Tur writes in Aruch Chaim in Hilchos Yom Kippur that there was an old practice, a very interesting practice that we've never heard of, but the Tur writes there was an old practice that they would keep 2 days of Yom Kippur the same way they used to keep 2 days of every other holiday. We know that there's an issue of Sveika de Yoma. We're never really sure which way the calendar is going to turn out, and therefore we always have to keep 2 days of Sukkot, two days of everything, because you never know when the real day is supposed to be. So says the Tur, there were many who were careful that they kept 2 days of Yom Kippur. You have to fast 2 days because how do you know you're fasting on the right day? So listen to the way the Tur formulates that halacha. He says there were many great tzaddikim who used to fast 2 days, and he says those who fast 2 days have to make sure that they consider both days equally important, equally Yom Kippur. He writes, you're not allowed to eat in the nighttime between both of those days because that's already Yom Kippur night. So it's a very difficult thing to do. You have to fast 2 days straight. It's not so easy. And then he writes the following. U'keshechol Yom Kippur b'Yom Hei. Let's say Yom Kippur falls out on Yom Hei is Thursday. Va'ata Yom Sheni Shalahem be'Erev Shabbos. And now the second day of Yom Kippur that you're keeping is going to be Erev Shabbos. Asur lahachin lahem tzorchei Shabbos be'Erev Shabbos shehu Yom Kippur Shalahem. Again, if I'm one of those tzaddikim that keeps 2 days of Yom Kippur, so now I'm keeping Thursday and Friday, and the next day is going to be Shabbos. When am I supposed to make the challen? What am I going to do? I'm not allowed to make it on my own because today is Yom Kippur for me. So can I have someone else do it for me? Says the Tur, absolutely not. Asur lahachin lahem tzorchei Shabbos be'erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to have someone else, meaning only the great tzaddikim are the ones who kept 2 days Yom Kippur. Most people did not. So what are the most people allowed to go ahead and cook Shabbos for them when for them it's Yom Kippur, and for these tzaddikim, I'm sorry, for everybody else, it's not. That would seem to be the same case as ours. Says the Tur, absolutely not. Ach yochlu Shabbos hemachayrim shelo hirbu b'shvilam. These tzaddikim, when it comes Shabbos, after they kept 2 days Yom Kippur and they're starving, they got to go find somebody who didn't have in mind to cook for them on Erev Shabbos. They have to find their own place to eat because they would not be allowed to eat in a place where they cooked specifically with intent for them. Again, what it would seem to be clear, what emerges from the Tur is, that when it's Yom Kippur for me, but it's not Yom Kippur for someone else, it would seem to be clear that I'm not allowed to go ahead and ask another person to do the malacha for me, even though for them it's mutter, but for me it's usher. So why should that be different than the case over here? If I'm a Kabbal Shabbos early, I'm allowed to go ahead, says the Shulchan Aruch, and ask somebody else to do malacha for me in that extended period of time when it's not yet Shabbos for them and it is Shabbos for me. And yet, by Yom Kippur, we assume if you're going to be machmir, a big tzaddik, and keep Yom Kippur 2 days, you're not allowed to have someone do the cooking for you on the second day of Yom Kippur, even though for them it is not Yom Kippur. This is a major question. So the Taz raises the issue, and the Taz answers as follows. The Taz says, when it comes to keeping 2 days of Yom Kippur, the reason why you're keeping 2 days of Yom Kippur is because you're not sure. Maybe today is the real day, so therefore you're erring on the side of caution. On the assumption that today is really the second day of Yom Kippur, today is really the right day, no one's allowed to do malacha at all. When I'm a Kabbal Shabbos early, it's not because I'm not sure maybe it's Shabbos already. I have no doubt that you're allowed to do malacha now. Of course you're allowed to do malacha. You haven't been a Kabbal Shabbos early. I decided to be a Kabbal Shabbos early, therefore it's also for me to do malacha. What does that have to do with you? I'm not keeping Shabbos now because I think maybe it's still Shabbos. I'm keeping Shabbos now because I made a conscious decision to bring Shabbos in early, and therefore, says the Taz, that's why when it comes to Tosefes Shabbos, a person would be allowed to go ahead and ask, request of somebody else to do a malacha for them, even though for me it's already Shabbos. However, when it comes to keeping 2 days of Yom Kippur, like the Torah writes, if you're actually observing the second day of Yom Kippur because you're assuming today might be the real day, you're not allowed to do malacha. You're also not allowed to ask anyone else to do malacha because you're assuming that today might really be the day of Yom Kippur. So that's a very important distinction that the Taz raises. So take, for example, if you extend that a little further, what if we have on a regular Shabbos, we have major disagreements about whether you're allowed to open bottle tops on Shabbos. Everybody disagrees about this. I remember I learned Masechta Beitza with my father three different times, the whole Masechta beginning to end, and there in the middle of the Masechta we have a discussion about Mafkia Matir V'chotech. The Gemara has a very complicated, just technically, how do you describe what exactly the scenarios are in the Gemara, but that's where all the discussion comes from about whether or not you're allowed to open a bottle cap on Shabbos. I learned the Masechta with my father three times with Chavrusa. All three times when we got up to that sugya, to that Gemara, we ended the sugya, and my father said to me, I never understood what the Gemara means. I really have no understanding what the scenarios are that the Gemara is describing. If I don't understand what the cases are, how can I extrapolate from that to have an opinion about bottle caps? You have to know what the Gemara says in order to know what to work with. So that was his opinion. My father's always told me he has no opinion on the matter because he doesn't understand what the sources mean. Okay, so that's his opinion. But we have those who are of the opinion that it's mutter. So let's say I hold that it's usher, and you hold that it's mutter. So I'm eating at your house. Am I allowed to ask you to go ahead and open the bottle for me on Shabbos or not? What would you say?
You've seen it done.
Who said it's right?
There's no state.
So that's the question. So the Taz, according to the logic of the Taz says, the only reason why you're allowed to go ahead and ask somebody else to do malacha for you on the Zman of Tosefa Shabbos is because it's not Shabbos for you. But when we have the 2 days of Yom Kippur, and you're assuming that it's really Yom Kippur and it's not permissible to do this, you're not allowed to ask someone to do malacha because for you it's really usur. And therefore, says the Taz, maybe we should assume over here, maybe we should extrapolate from there that when you have our case where you hold it's mutter to open the bottle caps and I hold it's usur, maybe you should not be allowed to go ahead and ask the person to do it for you. Why? Because in your mind, this is absolutely usur. You're not allowed to ask somebody else to do something that you believe is usur. And that's clearly the assumption if you assume like this Taz here, which again is a very, very important nafkamina. Now, let's just point out, let's say you don't ask the person to do it. Let's say you're eating at someone's house and they go around and start opening all the bottles. Does that mean I'm not even allowed to have hana? We have a halacha that you're not allowed to be nene mimelecha Shabbos. If somebody does something be'isr, you're not allowed to get benefit. If somebody goes ahead and cooks food on Shabbos for you, you're not allowed to go ahead and use it. So why? What should be the halacha here? If you open the bottle caps and I don't, and you open it for me, even though I didn't ask you, maybe we should say that now I'm not allowed to use the bottle at all. So that far we don't go. Why is that? Because the Mishnah Berurah writes Kli in Hilchos Shabbos and Shin Yud Ches. At any time you have a machlokas haposkim, any time you have legitimate opinions, doesn't mean you found some far-fetched shita somewhere. It means you have two legitimate opinions. You happen to hold one way, somebody else holds another way. Let's say often you have Ashkenazim and Svardim. We have different halachas with regard to Bishul B'Shabbos. So if you're eating at somebody's house, and they're following the halacha which they follow, which is a legitimate opinion, a very legitimate opinion, but you happen to follow a different one. So over there we say, the Mishnah Berurah writes, that we don't say that something would be forbidden because of Maisa Shabbos. That's not called doing a malacha on Shabbos, because according to them, it was absolutely mutter. Again, I might not be allowed to ask them to do that, because I believe it's usher. But if they go ahead and do it, even if they had in mind to do it for me, there would be nothing wrong with me going ahead and using and deriving pleasure and benefit from what was done, because there's no isra of being nena mimalacha Shabbos when there's a legitimate opinion that is sometimes the descending opinion, but when the legitimate opinion believes that this would be allowed to be done. So now let's talk about our case. I have a yomtiv sheni, and again, Rabbi Melman, we were discussing this. I have a yomtiv sheni, and I'm an Eretz Yisrael. I'm the one who's keeping yomtiv sheni like I'm supposed to. Now I have a ben Eretz Yisrael who's not keeping yomtiv sheni. Am I allowed to go ahead and ask him to do a malacha on my behalf? This is a major, major discussion which should tie into the original machlokas, the Rashba and the Ran that we began with. The Rashba and the Ran had a disagreement. Am I allowed to ask somebody to do something which for me would not be allowed, but for them would be allowed? Am I allowed to ask them to do that on Shabbos? So the Rashba is of the opinion, there's no problem. As long as they feel it's mutter, as long as for them it's mutter, there's nothing wrong at all with asking them, because it doesn't matter what you think is usur. As long as for them it's totally mutter, it's okay. And if you take that logic, we should say the same thing over here. The Ben Eretz Yisrael is certainly allowed to do malach on the second day of Yantif. Nobody disagrees with that. And therefore we would certainly assume that the Ben Chutz La'aretz is allowed to ask the Ben Eretz Yisrael to do malacha for him. However, if you assume like the opinion of the Ran, and that is the opinion that the only reason why it would be permissible to ask somebody to go to the faraway land to watch over my fruits is only because what? Is only because I could have figured out how to do it beheter on my own. I could have set up houses along the way and I chose not to and I forgot about it or I was negligent. If you go along with that logic, we would assume that what? Over here, what? It would not be permissible. Why? Because there's no way that I would be able to figure out how to do Malach on Yom Tov Sheni. So Rav Moshe Feinstein points out in the Tshuva, he says, well, you can always choose to move to Eretz Yisrael. Isn't that an option? The same way you can choose to build the house before Shabbos and extend your Tchum Shabbos, you can choose to move to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Moshe says, no, that's not really fair, because that's not inconceivable, but that's a very difficult shikul hadas that a family has to make. That doesn't just happen overnight. If you want to go and build a hut along the way to extend your Tchum Shabbos, that's easy. To go move to Eretz Yisrael is not easy, and therefore Rav Moshe says that would not be an excuse. So this is a major discussion in the Achronim. Should we allow somebody to go on Yom Tov Sheni, when they are observing Yom Tov Sheni, should I allow someone to go and ask somebody who's a Ben Eretz Yisrael to do Malacha for them, when for that Ben Eretz Yisrael it's permissible, and for me, it would not be permissible. Again, a major discussion. Rav Moshe is very opposed to doing such a thing. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in the Tshuva also is very opposed to doing such a thing. He says he can figure out how to find the Tzad Lahakel for those who do it, but he says clearly in that Tshuva, he says, I don't really want to say that this is mutter, I'm just finding a limud schus on those who do it anyway. But I don't agree with the practice that they're following, I don't think it's the right thing to do. But he says that there are those who do it, so I'm just finding a limud schus. But bottom line, Rav Moshe has in the Tshuva in a number of places, and Rav Shlomo Zalman comes to this conclusion and many others, that it's really not right for a person to go ahead and ask a Ben Eretz Yisrael to do malacha for them on Yom Tov Sheni, although we assume that Yom Tov Sheni is not an iser for them to do malacha. So just to recap, we started off with one case where the Gemara has an opportunity that you're allowed to ask someone else to do something for you, even though it's out of your Tchum Shabbos, but it's within the other person's Tchum Shabbos, that would be permissible. The Machlok is the Rashba and the Round, why that's permissible. Trickle down to whether or not you're allowed to ask someone to do malacha for you during the Zman of Tosefes Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch allows that in both directions. You're allowed to ask someone who has not yet been Mekabel Shabbos and someone who has already let Shabbos out. Someone's allowed to do malacha for you, and then the question is, how far do we take that? After all, the Torah writes in Hilchos Yom Kippur, if you believe that today is Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to have someone to do malacha for you, even though they hold it's not Yom Kippur today. So how does that tie in? Again, that was the Taz's question. And finally, how do we figure out how to deal with Yom Tov Sheni and those who are Ben Eretz Yisrael and Ben Chutz La'aretz? Am I allowed to ask somebody who's a Ben Eretz Yisrael to do malacha for me on Yom Tov Sheni, when for them it's absolutely permissible, but for me, it would not be allowed?